Today's shir is Masechta Sota, Daf Chaf Dalad. We were given Daf Chaf Gimel on the base at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Arusa v'Shemeres Yovam. Our Mishnah begins in discussing, that's primarily the topic of this Mishnah, different women who do not go through the Sota procedure, drinking the Mei HaMa'arim. And the first two women that the Mishnah identifies are an Arusa, a woman that is only Erisin, and a Shemeres Yovam, that they are subject, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem the Gemara, to Kinu Vestira, but Loishaisis, they don't drink the Mayim HaMorim, Loit Lois Ksuba, and they don't take the Ksuba. Shnemar, Ashatista Isha Tachas Isha, only if they have full-fledged marriage, Prat Larusa, when there's only Erisin, and Veshemeris Yavam, and a woman that's waiting for Yibum, is not considered completely this person's wife, that she should be the candidate for drinking the Mayim HaMorim. The Rishonim point out that the Gemara Masechet Ksubis discusses if an Arusa gets a Ksuba. So isn't our Mishnah a clear proof that they get a Ksuba? Because our Mishnah says that they don't, that if they have Kinu Vestira, they won't get a Ksuba. So obviously, they're entitled to a Ksuba. So the Rishonim give a number of explanations. One explanation is that even if they're not entitled, even if an Arusa is not entitled to Ksuba, an Oris has the right to give his Arusa a Ksuba if he so desires. And that's the case of our Mishnah, that the Oris wrote a Ksuba for the Arusa, and then he did Kini Vestira, she loses her Ksuba. Another explanation given to this question is that we know that there are two parts to the Ksuba. There's the Ik Ksuba, the mana masayim, a mana if one marries a non-basula, a masayim if she marries a basula, and then there's the toisus ksuba. When we discuss an arusa not getting a ksuba, we're talking about the toisus ksuba, but the ik ksuba she is entitled to, and that's what our Mishnah refers to. I saw a very interesting discussion amongst the paiskim. It's not that relevant la'aloch l'mais in our world, but as we know, in the times of Chazal, marriage took place in two stages. There was first Erisin, and then Nisuin. And as we learned the Gemara Simsach, the Ksubas Simsach, the Yavamis, there was typically quite a interval between the Erisin and the Nisuin. And the question the Paiskim discuss is a woman who's already in Arusa, is she mechuyif to cover her hair like a married woman? It could be suggested from our Mishnah, they want to say, that she is. Because our Mishnah says that, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, there's a specific limud that teaches us that an Arusa does not go through the regular Sota procedure. Now, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, part of the procedure that we do with the Sota is Upara Rosh Isha. We uncover her hair. But if the Arusa hair is uncovered anyway, how could she be a candidate for going through the Sota procedure? Her hair is uncovered anyway. So that's a proof they want to say that Arusa has to cover her hair. Actually, that's the way Mishnah Berurah paskins. However, many Mefarshim say that it's not really a proof, because uncovering the Sota's hair is not essential to the Sota procedure. What it means is, if it's a woman whose hair has to be covered, so by the Sota we uncover her hair. Arusa, whose hair is uncovered anyway, so we don't have to do it. That doesn't disqualify the procedure. The next case of women that our Mishnah identifies of not drinking is Almana L'Kohen Gadol. We know that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana. Grusha V'Chalutza L'Kohen Hedyot. A Kohen Hedyot is not allowed to marry Grusha V'Chalutza. Mamzeres V'Nesina Yisrael. A Mamzeres or Nesina who married Yisrael. Also Aser. Obas Yisrael L'Mamzer L'Nasin. All of these women, L'Shoises V'L'Naitlis Ksuba, don't drink because they don't drink. So just to identify some of the cases that we discussed. The Mefarshim discussed, the Rishash discusses, Chalutz L'Kohen Hedyot. The Isser of a Chalutz L'Kohen Hedyot, asked the Rishash, is only an Isser D'Rabbanon. So why is a woman who's only Osmud D'Rabbanon, but Midrash, it's a 100% acceptable marriage, not a candidate for drinking the Mayim HaMorim? Explains the Rishash. Since there is no mitzvah chiyuvis, one's not obligated to bring his wife as a Saita. It's only something that the Torah allows the husband to do if there was kinu v'stira. Chazal could say that in this circumstance, it should not be utilized, even though it's only a marriage that's osam d'rabbanan. The Nesinim, we recall, are a group, are really the Gevoinim, who are from these seven nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael. That really, we know the Torah says, Lesechai kol neshama, Klai Yisrael was supposed to eradicate them. But they came to Yeshua with some fraud, that they said that they came from a foreign land. And Yeshua promised them that he would let them live. And because our word is a word, they were not killed. But in later generations, when they saw that they really don't have the characteristics of Jews, they don't have the Midas HaRachmanis, we remember the story of Noiv Ir Kohanim. They demanded revenge from Shaul and his family for killing Noiv Ir Kohanim, which is the city that they lived and worked in. So David HaMelech said that they need to become Avodim. Machlokes Rishonim, what did David HaMelech accomplish? Some Rishonim say that David HaMelech wasn't making them osur to come into Klal Yisrael, because they were osur anyway, because they're Kananim. What David HaMelech was doing was he was making them have the status of avodim, of slaves, forever. Others say that the Sinim are osur medaraisa, are not osur medaraisa, because of the promise of Yeshua. But David HaMelech said that they should remain osur forever. So all these people, lo shaisis v'lo naitlis ksuba. We have machlokes, Rashi and the Rambam, why? Rashi says a simple pshat. Rashi's pshat is because since these are marriages that are, so to speak, illegal marriages, so when we have an illegal marriage, it's not the kind of marriage that the Torah wants to perpetuate, and we don't go through the site of procedure. And actually, there's a beautiful Tosfos HaRosh. The Tosfos HaRosh concept can really be used in a number of scenarios in our Mishnah. Tosfos HaRosh says like this. If we think about the procedure of the Mayim Hamorim, as we've mentioned earlier in the Masechta, it's a terrible procedure. We erase Hashem's name. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in order to make Shalom, Ben Ish L'Ishto, in order to bring Shalom Bayis, he's prepared to have his name erased. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, prepared to have his name erased? Where it's a marriage that we want to see saved. But this is not a marriage that we want to see saved, and therefore, Lo Shoyses Lo Naitlis Ksuba. The Rambam has a different approach. The Rambam's approach is that we're going to learn that only when the husband is innocent does the Mayim HaMorim work. Here, the husband is not innocent because the husband did an Aveira. He married a woman whom he wasn't supposed to. And therefore, Lo Shoyses, because the Mayim HaMorim would not be effective. That's the Rambam's approach. Why Rashi doesn't agree with the Rambam approach in the Gemara? I saw a number of explanations. One is because some of the cases that, as we just said, are the Rabbanon, and there we can't say that the person is not Menukah Mi'oven if he only transgressed the Rabbanon. Others say that it's only considered that the person did an Aveira if he did the Aveira after Kinui. But here, he married her before the Kinui, that wouldn't be considered him a Bal Aveira. In general, I saw a very interesting discussion amongst the Mefarshim. The halacha, as we know, is that if the husband is not innocent, then the Mayim HaMorim will not work. Let's say your husband did something wrong years ago, and he did tshuva on that Aveira. Will still the halacha be, given that he once did an Aveira, the Mayim HaMorim are not going to be effective? Or, if he did an Aveira years ago, and he did proper tshuva, so we can say that that remains forever? Interesting discussion amongst the Mefarshim. Continues the Mishnah. The following women also don't drink the Mayim HaMorim nor receive the Ksuba. If a woman says that she's Tamei, she admits that she's Tamei. So Mefarshim asks, obviously, if she's admitting that she's Tamei, why should she be allowed to drink the Mayim HaMorim? So I saw a very nice pshat. We learned the Gemara Masechta Nedarim. That the Gemara Masechta Nedarim says that if a woman comes, a wife comes, and says to her husband, Tamei Ani, I had an adulterous relationship. The halacha is she's not believed. Why is she not believed? Because we're concerned, Shema nosna ina ba'achar. She wants to marry another man, so she comes up with this story. So the question is, why here is she believed when she says Tamei Ani? Shema nosna ina ba'achar. Here, because there was already kinui v'stira, so there's reglaim l'dovar, that what she's saying is true, and that's why when a woman comes and says Tamei Ani, she is believed if there was already kinui v'stira. Next case, v'shabal edim shi tamei. If edim say that she's tamei, So again, there's no mayhem orim. Again, the Mefarshim ask, obviously, if there are Edim, why would we not believe them? So Mefarshim again explain, very nice review of what we learned at the beginning of Masechta. The halacha is that normally we need two Edim. But here, since there was Kini Vestira, even one aid is believed. That's what the Mishnah says. That even if one aid comes and says that she's Tomei, which normally we know the halacha is we don't trust just one aid, here we will. And if a woman refuses to drink, she has the option to refuse to drink, and she doesn't get a ksuba. But as we've been learning so many times, she only has the option to say Eini Shaisa prior to the Megillah being erased. Once the Megillah is erased, we force her to drink. Amabala, if the husband said, Eini Mashka, I don't want to give my wife to drink, or Shabala Ba Lebederach, or if the husband had relations with her, as we've learned, the husband, once she is identified as a Saita, may no longer have relations with her. If she had relations with her, the Mayim Amorim will not work. Here Aloch is Noitless Ksuba, she is entitled to the Ksuba, because it was the husband's initiative that stopped the process. As we explained in the previous year, it's not necessarily Bala Bala Baderith. Even if the husband had relations with her at home after she was identified as a Saita, the May Hamorim will not work. Why does the Mishnah speak about Derech? Because as we said, we learned, the Beis Din would appoint two Edim, two guards, to travel with the husband and wife to the Beis HaMikdash to perform the Saita procedure. So it's more likely that if he had relations with her on the way, we would become aware of it. If it happened at home, they don't have anybody watching them, and therefore it's less likely for us to be aware that he had relations with her. I saw a very nice Rosh Tevis. We just said that the halacha is that two guards are asked to accompany the husband and wife as they travel from their home to the Beis HaMikdash. The word Shabala stands for Baruch HaMokam Shemosa Olamo L'Shomrim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us guards. And here we have guards, the two Edom. So the Mishnah Melech asks a very fundamental question in understanding the Mishnah. Our Mishnah, just to review the case we're discussing, is that we have a woman who certainly acted inappropriately. She had Kini Vestira. But just because the husband is the one that initiated that he doesn't want her to drink the Mayim HaMa'orim, the halacha is Lashaisis, however they get the Ksuba. The halacha we learned the Masechta Ksubas, he asks, is that if a woman doesn't act Das Yehudis, doesn't act the way a Jewish wife is supposed to act, she loses a Ksuba. This woman who went through Kini Vestira is certainly acting inappropriately. So why is she entitled to a ksuba? So the Mishnah Melech says a very bechiddush. He says, the definition of a woman who's not acting with Das Yehudis is only where her inappropriate behavior affects the marriage. That means if she's not careful about kashrus, for example, and he can't eat in the helm, she's not makpid on kashrus, she's not careful about hilchus nida, for example. Here, her behavior doesn't necessarily affect their relationship, and therefore it's not considered a breach of Das Yehudis. Very bechiddush that all the mefarshim ask, if she's having inappropriate relationships, that's not called Das Yehudis. So the Chazon Ish says a different answer, beautiful Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says as follows, certainly if a woman is not acting appropriately, Das Yehudis, she loses a ksuba. But here the Torah gave us a way how to evaluate what is really the story. How? By drinking the Mayim HaMorim. The Gemara Masechta Ksubas that says that a woman who doesn't act with Das Yehudis loses a ksuba is referring to a woman we have no way of evaluating really what she is. So there the Mishnah says she loses a ksuba. Here the Torah gave us a way. Drink the Mayim HaMorim. So we don't have to rely on our own assumptions. The Sfasemis says another Teretz. He says just because a woman had Kini Vestira doesn't necessarily mean that she's not acting with Das Yehudis. It could be, it's hard to say, she wants to bother her husband. So she does it. Not because she makes the appearance, but not that she's really doing it. Or as we learned and will learn, Beis Hashem Yisbarach, by going through the Mayim HaMa'orim procedure, if she's indeed innocent, If she's indeed innocent, the halacha is that the nixar of an Nizra Zara, so could be she did it just for that reason. Continues the Mishnah. Neisu baleim ad shloshasu. If the husband died prior to them drinking the mayim hamarim, so beshamayim noitlos ksuba v'leishaisus. They're entitled to the ksuba. They can't drink because they only drink if the husband is there to give them the mayim hamarim. Here the husband is not there to give the mayim hamarim, so she's entitled to the ksuba. And as the Mefarshim explained, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, what Beisila means to say is, because she can't drink, she's not going to get a ksuba. We can't give her to drink, but because she had kina v'stira, she loses her ksuba. And as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, what is the explanation of the Machloikus of Beisha and Beisila? The Machloikus of Beisha and Beisila is the concept, if shtar ha'oimid ligvois kigovi domi or not. A shtar that's going to be collected, is it like cars already? Beshame holds shtar oimid ligvois kigovi domi. And therefore, since the woman is about to get, it's like the woman has the money. So unless he could give her to drink, she's entitled to the ksuba. Beisila holds shtar oimid ligvois laf kigovi domi. Ask the Tosfos for shans. And actually, it's a Yerushalmi. Let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah said that a husband can't give an arusa or a shameris yovam mayim hamorim to drink. It's a pasuk, as we're going to learn in the Gemara. So why, according to Beis Shammai, asked the Tosfos Shans, isn't it the same? She can't drink because she's only an arusa shameris yovam. So the din of Beis Shammai should apply that she should be entitled to the ksuba. Why there is she not entitled to the ksuba? Answers the Tosfos Shans, a very lumdish teretz. He says as follows. An arusa shameris yovam knows that she's not a candidate to drink the mayim hamarim, because she's only an arusa shemeres yavam. So if she goes and has kini v'stira, she recognizes that the repercussions are that she's not going to get the ksuba. So if she did go have kini v'stira, she has to suffer the repercussions. Our case, however, here, is referring to a regularly married woman, who even if she had kini v'stira, knows that she could prove her innocence by drinking the mayim hamarim. Now that the husband dies, so according to Beis Shammai, she says, I was prepared to drink the mayim hamamorim. He died, why should I lose my ksuba? Then Tosfos discusses the following question. Tosfos asks, according to Beis Shammai, she doesn't get the ksuba, as we just explained, because shtar oimel ligvois laf kegovi domi. But we know that the Gemara says many times in Shas, that a woman could bring into her marriage two types of nechosim. Nechsei tzoyim barzel and nechsei melod. Nechsei tzoyim barzel means that whatever the value of those nechasim were, go back to the wife when the marriage terminates. Nechsei melod means that the property really belongs to her. He just gets the payers. What will Beis Hillel hold regarding the nechsei tzoyim barzel? Let's say he ruined them. So does she have a right in this case to at least ask the state of the husband to make up the value of the nechsei tzoyim barzel? Tosfos leaves her with a question. The halacha is, we learned in Masechta Ksubis, and Masechta Yevamos, that a woman who's nursing, or a woman who's pregnant, may not get married remarried for 24 months. Reason being, because we're concerned that she's nursing her child, and once she gets remarried, she may become pregnant again. And if she becomes pregnant, her milk she will no longer have mother's milk. And this husband is not the father of her child, her new husband, so he won't care if the child doesn't have what to eat. There's a machloikis. It certainly applies in a situation by almana, where the first husband died, because even though she theoretically could take the yorshim of the first husband to have to support his baby, she doesn't want to do that. Machloikis, what's going to do by a grusha? Some say grusha has the same din as almana. Others say grusha doesn't have the same din. Machlokes Rishonim. The Noda Yehuda makes a very interesting distinction. He says, if a woman divorced her husband and was nursing the baby, there she's not allowed to get remarried because the baby already got accustomed to the mother's milk, and we're concerned that if she gets remarried and gets pregnant, she's not going to have a way to support this child, and she's not going to feel comfortable. She's not going to be able to get her first husband to Beis Din. The Beis Din should obligate him to support his child. On the other hand, if she's only pregnant, so the child never got accustomed to her nursing him, it would be a different din. That's the Noida B'Yehuda. So our Mishnah says, if somebody improperly married Muberes Chaveri or Menekes Chaveri, a woman who's pregnant or nursing, so since the marriage shouldn't have taken place, L'shaisos L'noitles K'suba Divir Remeya. The Chamayimrim Yochla Frisha, there's no reason why, because even though they're not allowed to be married for these 24 months, since after the 24 months, he could take her back, therefore, he does give her to drink. So a number of questions. Taisus firstly asks, why did the Mishnah separate this case from the case that we learned on top of the Amid, that also spoke about an illegal marriage? So it should have been all grouped together. So there are two answers that I saw in the Achroinim. One answer is that in the previous cases, there was no machloikis. Here, we just learned the machloikis of Ramei and Chachamim. So the Mishnah wanted to separate it, cases where there's unanimity versus cases where there's a machloikis. Another teretz is that the cases that we learned at the beginning on the top of the Amid are cases where the marriage is osa medaraisa. Here, the Isser is only an Isser de Rabbanon, so that's why the Mishnah separated into separate cases. The Chum said, Yochula Frisha, he could separate from her, and then after the 24 months, take her back. So the question here is, what does the Mishnah mean when it says separate? Does separate mean, would it get, he'd have to get divorced, and after 24 months, they could get remarried? Or does separate mean they just have to separate, but not necessarily get a divorce? Which is really a subject of discussion in Masechta Yevamos. However, I saw the Mefarshim suggest that everyone will agree that in the case of our Mishnah, a get will not be necessary and separation will be enough. Why? Because there are two deterrents in the case of our Mishnah from him going to live with her. Number one, the halacha is that they're not supposed to live together during the 24 months. Number two, this is a woman that had kini vestira. So since there are two reasons that will keep them apart, we don't have to have a get. Even without the get, he won't have relations with her. However, the Gemara Masechta Yevamos is only speaking about a case where the marriage shouldn't have taken place, but there was no kini vestira, there a get maybe is necessary. Continues the Mishnah. Islandess, let's say somebody marries an islandess, or a zakeina, a woman that we know can't have children, or zakeina, a woman's past the age of childbearing, or any real leilid, Rashi explains, is a woman who drank some sort of a potion that makes her permanently sterile. The halacha is like noitlus ksuba v'loishoises. She's not going to drink and not take ksuba. Why? Because what's the purpose? Again, the Rishonim give this explanation. Erasing Hashem's name is a terrible thing. We only erase it to protect the marriage. What's the purpose of marriage? That they should have children. Here they won't be able to have children. They won't be able to do puruvu. So it's not a marriage that we erase Hashem's name for. Rabbi Lezoimer, we do. Yochul Lisa Isha Cheres. He could always marry another woman. Or Lifras Hirbis Himenu. And therefore, this is the same like every other marriage. We go through the regular Soita procedure. It's interesting. Here the Chachamim say that they don't get the ksuba and don't drink. In the previous case, the Chum disagreed. Why? What's this different than the previous case? So the Mefarshim explained. In the previous case, there was nothing inherently wrong with the woman. It was just that the woman was in the middle of nursing a child. Here, there's something inherently wrong with the woman. Or as the other Mefarshim explained, as we said earlier in our shir, part of what happens after she goes through the Saita procedure is the niksa of an Nizra Zera. But this woman will never be the niksa of an Nizra Zera. She's unable to have children, therefore we don't give her to drink the Mayim Hamamorim. The Shakla Nashim, all other women, Oy Shaisis, either they drink, or Loi Naitlis Ksuba. So the question is, obviously, why does the Mishnah have to mention this? The answer is, to teach us that they drink, what's going to be the halacha if a mamzer married a mamzeris? So it's a 100% legal marriage. But the child born from that marriage is a child who's a mamzer. So we would think, there we won't give her to drink the mayim hamamorim. We don't want her to have children. We don't want to have more mamzerim. Teaches us the Mishnah, as long as the marriage is a legitimate marriage, shoises. Lloyd Neitel's Ksuba teaches us, the Karanayir is coming to teach us the following case. Let's say the woman, as we learned earlier, says she doesn't want to drink. Do we try to convince her, yeah, maybe you should drink? or not? Says the Mishnah, don't drink. If she doesn't want to drink, listen to her, leave her, because we don't want to erase HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Eishes Koyin, Shoysa, Umeteres Labala. Why would we think, says the Gemara, that Eishes Koyin is different? So we're going to learn the Gemara. Since an Eishes Koyin has a unique din, normally if a woman is violated, if she's married to Yisrael, she is allowed to go back to her husband. Eishes Koyin may not. So we would think that here too she's different. Teaches us the Mishnah as far as these dinim, she's the same. Eishes Saris, the woman of a wife of a Saris Shoysa. So Rashi asks the question. The halacha is that the May Saita only work if the husband had relations with the wife before the adulterer had relations. This is a man who is unable to have relations. So how could the Mayim HaMa'orim work? So Rashi answers, the Mishnah must be referring to situation. The first they got married, he was fine. And they had regular relations. Then he became a Saris, and that's why Kidma B.S. Baal Leboil. They call Arias Makanim. A husband could tell his wife, I don't want you to be secluded, not only with a man that you're not allowed to have yichud with, but even with a father or a brother where yichud is normally mutter. And the Michas Chinuch and all the Mefarshim point out that from here we see that Hilchus Yichud and Hilchus Kinu don't travel together. For even in a case where yichud is permitted, it still could be a case of kinui. And that's why the Rambam says that a woman could have kinui with two men. I there's no yichud when one woman is with two men, because as we're explaining, hilchus yichud and hilchus kinui don't travel together. So ask the Beis Halevi, if that's the case, so why does the Rambam speak about a case specifically where this woman was with two men? She could have even been with 100 men. Because we're saying that yichud and kinui aren't connected. Says the Beis Halevi, a beautiful answer. If she's going to be with three men or more, let's think about it. She was three men, so she and there's a concern that she had relations with one of those three men. If she had relations, so there are two edim that know that she had relations. And we know that once there are two edim that sort of act, we don't need the mayim hamarim. If, on the other hand, there are two Adam that know that she didn't have relations, she's certainly innocent. So the Rambam has to be speaking only about a case where it's two people, one she had relations, and only left with one aid. Chutz min akotin, except from akotin, their kinui won't work. What the definition of akotin? We're seeing the Gemara, the Machlaikis, does it mean a 9-year-old, or does it mean strictly below 9, or strictly below bar mitzvah? The Gemara will explain what this means. Says the Mishnah, the Elu Shebezdin Mekanalhem, the following women Bezdin does the kinui. Mishin Scharish, a deaf mute, Mishin Scharish Pala, or in the Shtato, he became a Shaita, or Shechovish Beis Asurim, he can't do kinui on behalf of himself, so therefore, Bezdin does it on his behalf. Loilash Kaisa Amru, however, the Tanakhama says that when Bezdin does kinui v'stira, it's not that they could give her to drink the Mayim Amorim, only one that could give Mayim Amorim is a husband's kin of astira, el apostle mitzubasa. Rabbi Yossi Omer, aflash goysa, Bezdin can even, the kinui vestira of Bezdin could culminate with her drinking the mayim amorim, l'chshiyet zibalam and beis asurim, because when the husband leaves jail, yashkena, he could give her to drink. So the Rishonim explain why could Bezdin do kinui vestira on behalf of the husband, because the klal is, zochel adam shle b'fanav. I could do something for your benefit when you're not here. So here where the husband is unable to do kinui v'stira, he's in jail, he's a shaita, he's a cheresh, so Bezdin does kinui in his behalf. Therefore, says the Noid B'Yehuda, the case of our Mishnah is only in a case where the husband is unable to do kinui v'stira. So there Bezdin can make a legitimate assumption that were the husband here, or were the husband able to do kinui v'stira, he certainly would. But if the husband is here, and he chooses not to do kinui v'stira, we can't do kinui v'stira on his behalf. That's the psak of the Noid B'Yehuda. But I saw from a sefer called Shail's Tshuvas, Shoyel V'Nishol, who disagrees. And he says a very interesting svara. He says, if there's a husband whose wife is acting inappropriately, and he chooses to ignore it. He chooses not to do kinu v'stira. Says the Shaul chooses shayel v'nishal. He's no worse than a shaita. What kind of husband is this that he allows his wife to act that way? And because it's considered that he's a shaita, the din of our Mishnah applies that then Bezdin will do kinu v'stira no different than if the husband was mamish a shaita. I saw a very interesting tshuva from the Shaul of Tshuvas Be'er Yitzchak, Reb Yitzchak Elchanan, based on the concept that we just discussed. He discusses the following shaila. Very interesting halach l'maisa shaila. What will be the din if there's a person who's not religious and he doesn't sell his chametz on Pesach? Could I, his religious neighbor, friend, sell his chametz on his behalf? Because it's zochel adam shloi b'fanav. By him holding on to his chametz, he's oivad aveira b'ayiro b'ayimotze. By me selling his chametz, at least on that chametz, he won't be over by Yerah by Yimotze. And the Be'er Yitzchak wants to suggest, based on what we're learning in our sugya, that we apply the concept of Zach and Ladin Shalab Befanav, and that the Mechira would be a valid Mechira. Says the Gemara, we learned at the beginning of our Mishnah that Arus of Ishmeres Yovim, Mishnah Hud Lashasya, aren't candidates for drinking the Mayim HaMorim, Hakinu Maknila. They are candidates for Kinu V'stira. Ask the Gemara Menonimili, from where do we know this? The Tana Rabbanim. The Pasuk says, Dava B'nai Yisrael, V'amarta Aleihem, this is the way the Rishonim learn. The Torah adds the word Aleihem, L'rabbis, Arus V'shmeres Yovim, L'kinui. That they are candidates for Kinu V'stira. Ask the Gemara Masnisa Mani, whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? Says the Gemara Rabbi Yonasan, it's the opinion of Rabbi Yonasan. The Tanya Tachas Ishech Prat La Arusa. And Arusa does not drink the Mayim Hamorim. Yochel Shani Moitzi Av Shemeres Yovam. I would suggest that also Shemeres Yovam doesn't drink the Mayim Hamorim. Tamloim Ish Ish, the Rabbi Yoshe. So according to Rabbi Yoshe, not like our Mishnah, a Shemeres Arusa Taka doesn't drink the Mayim Hamorim, but a Shemeres Yovim does. Rabbi Yonasan, on the other hand, disagrees. Tachas Ishech Prat the Shemeres Yovim. That a Shemeres Yovim also doesn't drink the Mayim HaMorim. Oitzi Shemeres Yovim. So I'll say a Shemeres Yovim doesn't drink the Mayim HaMorim. However, V'loi Oitzi Sarusa, maybe Arusa should drink the Mayim HaMorim. Tamaloima Ashatishta Isha Tachas Isha Prat La Arusa. So according to Rabbi Yonatan, as we learned in our Mishnah, both an Arusa and a Shemeres Yovam are candidates for Kinu V'stira, but are not candidates for drinking the Mayim HaMorim. Rabbi Yonatan's opinion. Says the Gemara, Mar, Alei Melech Arusa, the Kedusha today, according to Rabbi Yonatan, an Arusa is considered more of his wife than a Shemeres Yovam, because an Arusa is a wife that I chose. Moreover, the halach is that if a woman is an Arusa, we've said this many times, midarais an Arusa is considered an Eishes Ish, and if she has an adulterous relationship, she's mechuyev mises bezin of skila. In fact, it's even a more serious violation than if she were only in a sua. An Asua is chayev chenek if she has an adulterous relationship, and Arusa is mechuyev skila. Omar, alimelei shmeres yovam. However, Rabbi Yoshe holds that the relationship with a Yeshmeres Yovam is a stronger relationship than the relationship with a Arusa, because as we learned, and we'll learn later in our Shia today still, that the relationship with Yeshmeres Yovam is a very easy relationship to consummate. We don't have to have a chuppah. The loy mechesra mesira lechuppah. We don't need to have a chuppah. All we need is that they should have bia. Ask the Gemara. Rabbi Yonasan, hi ish ish. My Ovidlei, according to Rabbi Yonasan, what does he use the words ish, ish to teach us? Because according to Rabbi Yishya, ish, ish comes to tell us that a Shemeres Yovam is not a candidate for drinking the Mayim, is a candidate for drinking the Mayim HaMorim. But according to Rabbi Yonasan, that a Shemeres Yovam also doesn't drink the Mayim HaMemorim, what's he going to use the words ish ish to teach us? Mibayle l'rabbis eshes cherish, versus Shaita versus Shamam, the wife of a Cheresh or Shaita, Shamam, somebody who's deranged, to teach us that these women are candidates for Kinu Vestira, but not for drinking the Mayim Hamorim. And as the Gemara will explain, we'll learn later in the Perek, that the Pasuk of Ish is teaching us certain times the woman is disqualified, and certain times the man is disqualified, but the disqualifications of both are equal. Rabbi Yoshia, Hai Takas Isha, that Rabbi Yonason used the words of Takas Isha to teach us that an Arusa is not going to drink the Mayim Hamorim. What does Rabbi Yoshia use that pasuk for? The Ba'alei Lahakish Isha L'Ish V'Isha L'Ish. Eladik Tama, says the Gemara, the reason why an Arusa and a Shmeres Yovam, according to Rabbi Yonason, are not going to drink the Mayim Hamorim, is because the Ksiv Hanikra, because we have these psukim that exclude them from drinking the Mayim Hamorim. Holav Hachi, were we not to have these psukim, have a Min Arusa Shasya, then we would say that an Arusa does drink the Mayim Hamorim. Ask the Gemara, how could we even have a Havamina? Why do we need a pasuk to exclude an Arusa from drinking the Mayim Hamorim? Because Rav Acha Bachanina Medroima, also of Aisim Asnissim B'yodei, Mebaladei Ishech, the Parsha of Saita says the words Mebaladei Ishech, Shekodmash, as we explained in the Mishnah, Shekodmash Chivas Baal Laboyal, only if the husband had relations with the wife prior to the boil having relations with her, will the mace site to be effective. So in the case of, in our case, where she's only in Arusa, if she's only in Arusa, so they obviously didn't have relations. If they didn't have relations, the pasuk teaches us the May Amorim don't work. So why do I need a pasuk to exclude the Arusa? It's obvious that the Arusa is excluded. Answers the Gemara, Amr Rama Bachama, Mishkachas Lo, Chagon Shabo, Allah, Oris or Beis Avia. It's referring to a situation where the Oris had relations with the wife, with his Arusa, when they're only Mu'uresis. So there are two questions that all the Mepharshim ask. One question is, an Oris and an Arusa are not supposed to have relations yet. Then they didn't have Nisun yet. So then, we go back to what we discussed in the Mishnah. He's not Menukah Me'oven. He's not an innocent party. And we said that the Mayim Hamorim only work when he's innocent. He's not innocent. He had relations when he's not supposed to. So I saw two answers. One answer is that this is only an Issa D'Rabbanan. And since it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, it's not considered that he violated, that he should be considered in a Menukah Me'oven. That's one teretz. Another teretz is, we spoke about this in the Mishnah, that when is it considered that it's a problem that he did an Aveira? Only if he did the Aveira after Kinui. Here he had relations with his Arusa prior to Kinui. That doesn't put him into the category of Eina Menukah Me'oven. But then there's another question. Why does our Mishnah, our Gemara, have to refer to a situation where the husband, where the Oris did something very wrong? They had relations with his Arusa when he shouldn't have, when he's still not Nisuin. We learned that the first Mishnah in Masechta Kedushin says, even though it's not the way we're supposed to do it, that a Rus Erisin could be affected through Bia. So maybe that's how they have Bia. He made the Erisin with Bia. So Ar Sameach answers that since that Bia is not your regular typical Bia, typical Bia is when the husband and wife had revelations. Here the purpose of the Bia is to have, to create a band, to create that Kenyan. That's not the Bia that the Mishnah, the Gemara means when it says Shekidmas Bias Baal Labias Boil. Says the Gemara, if we're saying that the case of Shemeres Yovam is referring to a case where they had relations, Shemeres Yovam also must be a case where they had relations. Ask the Gemara, if this man already had relations with the Shemeres Yovam, Hashemeres Yovam Kreslei, why is she called a Shemeres Yovam? Ishtem Ayasihi, it's already considered a full-fledged wife. Dama Rav, Rav taught us in Mestech the Yavamas, that once the Yovam has relations with the Yavama, even if there was no intention that he should make her his wife with those relations? And even as we learned the Masechta Yevamos, that it's not the right thing to do, they should go through some sort of a kedushin of a maimer, still kara l'kol, because midaraisa, she's his full-fledged wife. And Rabbi Akiva Eger says, beautiful Rabbi Akiva Eger, that even if he has relations with his Yevama, and he clearly stipulates, I don't want that these relations should consummate our relationship, it wouldn't make a difference. Because the Torah says, Rav teaches us, that as soon as the Yovam and Yevama have relations, she's his full-fledged wife. So why is the Mishnah calling her a Shemeres Yovam? If they had relations, she's his wife. Answers the Gemara to Shmuel. Because Shmuel says, the Amar Lekana, the only thing that a Yovam and a Yevama having relation accomplished is Ledvarm HaMurim B'Pasha, which means that now if they want to break their relation, they have to have a get. It's number one. And number two, that the halach is that the Yovam inherits all of the estate of the brother who died. Here the halach is that he inherits all of those that entire estate as soon as he has relations. But to be considered, says Shmuel, his full-fledged wife, to be considered his full-fledged wife, that now she's a candidate to drink the Mayim Amorim, not that far. So we have here a machloikus Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, once the Yavam and the Shmeres Yavam have relations, it's a full-fledged husband and wife. According to Shmuel, it's not considered a full-fledged husband and wife. It's only considered husband and wife as far as him inheriting his brother's estate and needing a get to separate from her. So now, says the Gemara, perhaps, Lame Rav Dama Krabi Oishia, the Shmuel Dama Krabi Yonison. Maybe this machloikus of Rav Shmuel is actually machloikus of Rabbi Yonison and Rabbi Oishia. The Rav who says that a Shemeres Yovam, and as we just finished explaining, the case of Shemeres Yovam of our Mishnah is a case where they had relations. It's considered a full-fledged husband and wife. That's why Rav and Rabbi Oishia hold that she's a candidate to drink the Mayim Amorim. Rabbi Yonason, on the other hand, Shmuel, on the other hand, holds like Rabbi Yonason, that just because they have relations doesn't mean that they're considered full-fledged husband and wife. And that's why she doesn't drink the Mayim Amorim. And as the Mefarshim explained, what's implicit with the Gemara? It's very difficult to say such a pshat, because Rav and Shmuel, who are Amoroyim, would not be repeating a machloikis of Rabbi Yonason and Rabbi Oishia, who are Tanoim. If they already had this machloikis, why are they repeating the machloikis? Amloch Rav, responds Rav, Anor the Amri Afila Rabbi Yonason. I could say my pshat even according to Rabbi Yonason. Mid Isruch if we see that the Torah goes out of its way to say that a Shemeres Yovam should not drink the Mayim Hamorim, it must be that she's his wife. And the explanation is as follows. If she weren't considered his wife, why do I need a pasuk that she doesn't drink the Mayim Hamorim? It must be, says Rav, the Rabbi Yonason agrees with me that she is considered his wife regarding all aspects, but the Torah gives an exception to the rule. What is the exception to the rule? The drinking of the Mayim Hamorim. Certainly, the Mefarshim explained, Rav could say his pshat according to Rabbi Oishia, because Rabbi Oishia considers him full-fledged husband and wife, which is clearly what Rav holds. Similarly, Shmuel Amar, Anad Amri Fila Rabbi Oishia. My opinion could even be consistent with Rabbi Oishia. Rabbi Oishia says that a Shemeres Yavam does drink the Mayim Hamorim. Why? Midetzach Kral Ribuya Mechlav Delav Ishtihi Klal. Why does the Torah have to go out of the way, says Shmuel, to tell us, according to Rabbi Oishia, that a Shemeres Yovam drinks the Mayim Amorim? Of course she drinks the Mayim Amorim. She's his wife. She's not. Why? Because it must be that she's not his wife. And that's why I need a pasuk to tell us. If she were his wife like Rav, I wouldn't need a pasuk. That's why Shmuel says, certainly Shmuel could agree with Rabbi Yonason that's not considered a wife. But even Rabbi Oishia and Shmuel could be together, because Shmuel says it's not a wife. Shmuel says it's not a wife, and that's why Rav Oishia needs a pasuk to tell us that even though she's not a wife, she doesn't drink the Mayim Amorim.